We have to have the microphone on, so that way we provide the message also for those that are joining us online. Good morning, church family. Oh, we need to be very enthusiastic because it's very important to have fire in worship, okay? If you look back in the Bible, every act of worship has some fire connect to it, so we need to some fire. Good morning, church family. Yes. Now, when I saw this text as I was studying for today, I noticed that it says this version is very appropriate for us to share this with the members. It says, to hear the message the Lord has given to us. So that's the purpose of why we are here, because the Lord has a message for us. Now, it is today, you don't even have to look at the screen because it's going to be text by text in one single chapter in the Bible. And so it is quite a few verses. That's why I would try to make sure that we go in a proper, we're not going to go too fast, but we cannot go too slow either. And so hopefully after the message here, you would take home and you go revisit the chapter and go over again as we, and you can always call in and ask some questions. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Today is Abba's Day. The Lord has made this day especially for all of us to enjoy. So the topic today, we entitle Conversion. How many of you here were born into a Seventh-day Adventist family and was raised as a Seventh-day Adventist? Quite a few of you. I understand that the rest of you that did not raise your hand, I hope it's not because you're too tired, but it maybe is not the case. So you did, even those that were also raised in a Seventh-day Adventist home, you do have your personal story about conversion as well. Conversion is not something that happens just outside of the church. There is a lot of conversion that happens inside of the church. And there is no relationship with God without conversion. Conversion is very important. Why? Because it's the beginning, it's the steps that we take towards God. The book of Acts, chapter 10, it talks about conversion. So anybody knows what is the conversion I'm talking about? By the way, this is a tricky question, okay? Does anybody knows what the kind of conversion is mentioned in the book of Acts chapter 10? No? I know because I warned you there was a trick question. Nobody wants to answer. We first think that it's all about Cornelius. You're going to find out that it's not all about him. Okay? So let's start. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Please, if you do have your own Bibles, it's good. It is good for our minds to look and open and see by ourselves. Why? Because if you have a pen, you may want to highlight something in your Bible. Later on, it will be easy to go back to and reevaluate any study. Chapter 10, it says, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer, a captain, a centurion, and a centurion means somebody who was in charge at least 100 soldiers, and also 100 soldiers plus, and we do have here my brother Juan, this military background. You know that somebody who is in charge of 100 soldiers is a huge task. You have a lot of power if you have 100 soldiers that will obey you at all cost. And not today with all those laws that we have today. Back then was much different. A captain will tell you something, you better move or that will cost your life. And so Cornelius has this kind of power. And he has also a lot of servants. And he has family. So his leadership demand upon him was vast. Verse 2 says, he was what? Do you know what that means? He was a very religious man. How could that be? You know, for you to be a military in a pagan armed force, in from a pagan culture, not only pagan, but Rome at that stage was very, it was a society that was very immoral. And you know what happens when people usually have a lot of blessings, instead of being very spiritual, they go the other way. They become very moral. And that's what happens to Rome. Rome was very moral. And yet, this man was different. He was not a product of his environment. He was creating his own environment. That is the first lesson for today. We create our environment. We don't let the environment create us. God-fearing man. He was part of a culture that was very pagan. They create gods about everything. Every Caesar was a god. We even today in our calendars, even on the days we call the days of the week, we all have to thank the Romans for that. Sunday, dedicate to the sun god, S-U-N. Monday, to the moon, and goes on the whole list, and the months. And they name all the months, except few, with pagan gods. Even today, the Sabbath, they replace the Abba and put Saturn as part of to replace it. The months, the weeks, and you notice that some of them, we have a June, and we have a July, and then we have a August. July and August is for the god Caesars. And so that's why they said that's why the 2 months have a 31 days, because one Caesar says it's 31 days. My month has to have more days than, has more sunlight than the other ones. And the other one said, no, I won. And so that competition went on. And everyone in his household also was religious. Sometimes parents can be very religious and yet the children go a different direction. This man, what is wonderful about him is that not only he was a God-fearing person, but he says everyone in his family. Isn't that beautiful? We could spend a whole sermon just about those two verses. But here's what. Faith leads to work. If you have faith and there is no work, you have no faith. You're just fooling yourself. It says that because he was so religious, because he was so noble with his family, he was also very, very generous with his possessions. He gave to the poor. And the conclusion, and he prayed regularly. Every single day he was a man of prayer. A man of faith, a man of prayer. You cannot say, I have faith in you. No, you don't pray. And so this is what these two verses says. Now, continue. Supposed to go. Okay, it did. Verse 3. It says, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, that was the time of prayer, also the evening sacrifice, he had a vision. When you pray, when you give, when you have faith, then you have vision. It goes like that. You are generous, you have faith, you practice your faith, then God get in touch with you. If you get in touch with God, God says, yes, I am here. And he sent an angel to talk to him. 3 o'clock, he was in a vision which he saw an angel. The word angel, if it would be translated here, says a messenger sent by God. The word angel means messenger. If it would be translated, it would say God sent him a messenger to his house. And the messenger said, Cornelius. And by the way, God knows you by your name. Here is for you to understand what is going on. In first Our first prayer was the 30 hours at 9 a.m., and then at noon, and then at 3 p.m. They have these three. And the Muslims still practice the same thing. And you see, you know, Daniel mentions, his habit of praying this way as well. Now, verse 4, Cornelius stared at him with panic. And believe me, if you see somebody shining like an angel before you, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, you say, what is this? And he panicked a little bit. And he asked, what is it, sir? He asked the angel, what is it? And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God. God takes notice of every single gesture that we have. Every single time they support the church, you support the ministry, every time you give to the poor, every time God takes notice. If you bank on heaven, every single action is taken as credit. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received. Have been received. When we give an offer, we think that we are not giving to God. God does not need my offering, but God needs my heart. And if my heart is not with Him, I won't be able to give either. Now, verse 5 and 6, and now sent to Joppa, and summon a man called, he's called Simon, and he is named also Peter, because Jesus Christ gave him that name. He is staying with Simon. Simon is staying with Simon, and a tanner, and that means somebody who works with leather, and who lives near the seashore. We all like to live in he lived by the beach, Those days were not that expensive to do. Now, if you go to the same place, it's a little north of Tel Aviv. No one can afford a house there, and it's so crowded. God knows the address of His people, doesn't He? He knows exactly where each one of us live. And when He sends somebody to knock at your door, make sure that you know that God may send that person there for that reason. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his, I like the expression, as soon, he has this sense of emergency. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and also a devout soldier. Have you noticed that all his family was religious? Now, the ones that works for him are also religious. Isn't it amazing that an individual has a faith that irradiates everyone else around him? And then said he told them what has happened to him and sent them to Joppa. Now, notice that every single one of them believe in him. They believe that he could say, did you see what? An angel, I'm sorry. No, they all believe his account of what happened. Told them what happened and they believed. Now, the next day, it took a whole day for them to travel from Caesarea to Joppa. One day. And Cornelius' message were near the town. Peter went up to the roof because it was noon time. And so the breeze from the sea, it was a nice place to lay down. And he lay down waiting for the food. And also he was there, he prayed first, and then he lay down to rest. And this was about noon. And he was hungry. But while the meal was being prepared, let me make sure that you understand this. You lay down, and you are up there on the roof. Somebody's cooking here, the lady's cooking here. Somebody's cooking. What happens to the smell? It goes up and comes by your nose. And here you are hungry with your eyes closed, you're sleeping, and it triggers the brain. And God used that moment to talk to him. He gave him a vision. What was the vision all about? I don't know about you. Have you ever have some dreams that you have seen a lot of animals in your dreams? Some nightmares sometimes. Sometimes we are running from them. Sometimes, you know. So he saw this bunch of animals being brought down to him. And he received a commandment. He told him, the voice told him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. I know, Peter, you are hungry. Here are a bunch of animals." I don't know how many of you have heard, if you talk to anyone that is not a Seventh-day Adventist. And sadly, I found one pastor who called himself a pastor, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, who was saying that this vision was a clear indication for that from now on we are free to eat whatever we want. Even though he said, "I'm a vegetarian, but I believe." And I sat down with him. This was eight. We were in a retreat, and I sat down with him and some other pastor joined us in the discussion. And I went over with this with him. And thank God, after we have a very serious talk, it looks like he was changing his mind a little bit. But he says, "Kill and eat." They say that this is a clear indication that God allow us now to eat whatever we want. But Peter said, people don't pay attention to what Peter says. "Not so, Lord." How many of you here will have enough faith and conviction to talk to the voice that you think that comes from heaven and says, no, not sure, not me. He said, "No, for I have a never." Would you say with me, never, never, never. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. I don't know how many of us here can stand in public and say this, and say to God, say, "Hey, by the way, God knows ever, you know, He knows everything. So if you say never, you better be very sure, because God knows everything that that Peter ate all his life." He knew very clearly, and God does not lose His memory or anything else. He knows everything. So he had such a conviction that he was speaking to God and says, "I never have eaten anything common." Do you know what is common? A chicken can be common. Turkey can be common. What he meant by common? Common means that it didn't have a proper ceremonial cleaning. So that is, the Jewish people says, "I don't touch something that at least has gone through the ceremonial cleaning." And of course, unclean, all of us know the list of the unclean. So he says, even the ones that I'm allowed to eat, but if it's not properly prepared, I will not have a touch it either. I will never touch something that is with blood or something with a fat, just like the Bible tells me not to. Never. Interesting that the Pentecostals and all the churches, they don't read that part. They continue. And the voice spoke to him again second time, says, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." May I ask you a question? How many of you here, please do not raise your hand. You don't need to answer, please. Just think about it. How many of you have read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation? A few times. Have you ever found any place where God washed with a brush a pig and declared from that point on, this, at least this pig is clean? Have you seen anywhere God ever clean anything that is unclean? Can you mention at least one time? Why did even we have unclean animals? Because they are the nurses. They are the elements that God put, the helpers that God put in this life. After sin came to the world, He says, I need them to protect you so that they will consume everything that can create diseases before the disease, before the devil create those diseases and try to kill you, because that's the purpose of the devil. The devil doesn't want to kill pigs or kill all animals. He wants to kill us. And so the devil created all those diseases. The devil does, brothers and sisters. That's not God's business. God's business is healing, is life. Okay, killing is not God's business. And so the devil created those things, and God says, because sin will bring diseases, I need volunteers. And you notice the way the pig says, right? Wee, 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 wee. You know, he volunteered. And so did the dogs and all the other animals. They clean. That's the purpose. Now imagine how much the devil has done. A person goes and go and eat the trash can. Instead of let the trash can get the trash, they'll go and eat there. And that's what happens. Three times. Pay attention, please, to the three times. There's a reason why there it says three times. This was done three times. God does everything with a purpose. Have you have an idea of why he said three times? Here it comes. He tells us, while Peter was wondering, what is this all about? Peter knows one principle that every one of you needs to know. If you don't know this principle yet, your faith is not secure yet. You need to know one thing. God changes not. When you read your Bible, the first and most important principle that you have to have in your mind is God changes not. So whatever he says, it will come. It says, while Peter was wondering, what I know that had nothing to do with eating. Tell the Jehovah's Witness, tell the other so-called Christians. So the men of Cornelius send. They arrived three times. Three men arrived at his door exactly the same time. Three unclean men, according to Jewish law. Three unclean people just knock at his door, and he don't supposed to talk to them. He don't supposed to have any dialogue with them. He don't supposed to have anything to do with them. But the vision told him, you cannot call unclean what God has made clean. And he's about to find out what in the world that God was talking about. They ask, is Simon Peter here? Is he staying right here? While the Peter was still thinking, he was up there praying. He's still thinking, what in the world is going on? The Spirit came in. By the way, we read the book, Acts. We call it Acts of what? Act of the Apostles, right? Isn't that the way we call it? I want to give you a suggestion to you. Actually, this is supposed to be called, according to my belief, I think the most appropriate title for this book is Acts of the Spirit. Because no book in the Bible, the Spirit is so active in evangelism, in motivating, preparing preachers. And we see this very clearly in this chapter, chapter 10. The Spirit said to him, listen, remember? I told you three times. Three men is downstairs looking for you. Excuse me. They are there. What should you do? Do not consider anybody unclean. Go get up and go downstairs. Go with them. I can't. They are unclean. They are not Jewish. They don't have Abraham's blood. They are not our type. We're not supposed to associate with them. They are not our kind. They don't speak our language. They don't have the same flags. They are the enemies. They are mean people. Go with them without any doubt. In other words, it's time for you, preacher, to know how to preach and to know to whom you must preach. It's time for you to have faith, preacher. And then he says this, so Peter went down and the man said, I am the one who you're looking for. Why did you come here? I hope you're not collecting taxes. What are you here for? Because that's what sometimes the Romans would knock at your door. Believe me, as it was meant trouble. They said, we are sent by Cornelius, a captain of the Roman force. But he's a devout, God-fearing man. Well respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel. You notice that he included the word holy here. He didn't just say an angel. He says, a holy angel instruct him to call you and invite you to come and to bring a message for him and his family. I don't know how many of you have received that call yet. You have. I know that you have. Somebody has knocked at your door and was anxious to receive the gospel. Somebody may be close there and the Lord has a purpose for you to be that person. So Peter invited them to stay for the night. What a change. He could not even talk to them. Now he invited them to come in and stay for the whole night. The next day, he went with them. And now some church members decide to go with the preacher. Six of them. So three came, and 10 went back. 7 plus 3, there goes the 10. Goes, and they travel one whole day to get to the next place, which is Caesarea. It says, and they arrived in the following day. That's the fourth day when the whole thing starts. From the vision of Cornelius into now is the fourth day. Cornelius was waiting for them. And what happened? He was not there all by himself. He was so sure about the whole thing that he had his entire house packed with people, relatives, friends, everybody there. Remember the word conversion? I told you that this was not all about Cornelius. You're going to find out. As Peter entered his home, again, he invited the unclean people to his house, which was not really his house, was the other Simon's house, but he was a guest there. He invited him. Now he's going to a Roman's house. A typical home house has images everywhere, just like a Catholic church. Has images over everywhere. But not this one. This was different. And Peter entered his home. Cornelius fell to his feet and worshipped him. By the way, anybody here ever been in the Vatican before? I hope not. But have you ever been there? Probably to visit. Is a touristic place. Over there is a statue. They call a statue of Peter. Actually, it's not really Peter. It is a Greek pagan god. But they adopt it and they call it Peter. So the people go there, and because the church teaches everybody that Peter was the first bishop of Rome, which is not true, but they kiss the statue's feet, the toe, the big one. And with the time, the saliva, it ate. Now the Peter, for a time, he lost his toe, the big one, because the people with the saliva. Sorry, but that's true. It's a true story. And they have to repair the real Peter. Was about to be worshipped by a Roman. And now the Romans are still worshipping the false Peter there. But Peter pulled him up and said to him, "Stand up. I am a human being just like you." You wonder if the Roman Catholic, I'm not here to bash the Catholic Church. I'm talking about not the individuals. I'm talking about the teaching. Okay? Please, don't take me wrong. The teaching is complete pagan. Stand up, I am a human being just like you. When Francis goes to places, people bow down before him and kiss his ring and call him Holy Abba. And some of you, we have visitors here, so I have to repeat for them, for their sake. You notice that I didn't use the word Pope. Because the word Pope means Abba. And that is a title for God. And it is a blasphemy for us even to call him Pope. Because that's what it means. And he wants for us to call. The devil wants us to call him what he's not. And so they worship. They receive worship. Here it says clearly, "Stand up. I'm a human being just like you. You cannot worship me." So they talked together and went inside where many of them were assembled. Many. He said, "Your people understand that it is against the Jewish law for Jewish people to associate with or visit anybody who is not Jewish. But God has shown me." There is the question. It's not about food. "God has shown me that I should not call any person unholy or unclean, unfit to be loved by God, to be reached by God, to be saved if they choose so. That's all that it is. Nothing else, brothers and sisters." I had one Pentecostal young man tell me, "I can show you in the Bible where you no longer have to abstain from pork." And I says, "Really?" His name was Romero, which is has to do with Roman. But that was his name, Romero. And he says, "I can show you in the Bible where you can actually not have to worry about clean and unclean anymore. God is made very clear." I said, "Okay, show me. And I'll tell you, after you show me, we're going to go to a restaurant and we're going to feast on a little piece of pig. I knew for sure. At that time, I already have read the Bible. I knew. And he brought me Acts chapter 10. He says here, "Kill and eat." And I said, "Romero, did you take the time to read the rest of the chapter?" I don't have to. He says clear here, "Kill and eat." Would you kill and eat human flesh? Because God is talking about humans. So are you saying that a human flesh is no longer unclean to be eating? Because that's what the subject is all about. It's not talk about elephants. It's not talk about giraffes, pigs. He said, "I don't care." And that's what it is. They like their bacon. That is why I did not argue. I did not argue because when God talks to me clearly, I came. Now, please tell me why I am here. Couldn't that angel from God could have done all the preaching? Why God have to use somebody else? Why didn't that angel tell him everything that he needed? Because faith, brothers and sisters, needs to be practiced. And faith cannot be by yourself. You always have to involve other people. Because faith is about service. It's not about receiving. It is about giving. That's what faith is all about. Sometimes people think that what is in this for me is that kind of attitude that is always me, me, me. They always to get. God wants to show this man that all that he was doing, he was appreciated by God. God was taking notice. But he needed the church. And Peter represented the church. And the other six that came with him, the elders, represent the church. And the church now was in a place where the church was supposed to be, according to them. But according to God, is where exactly where the church was needed. And the church was there. And the church was asking this man, what do you need? There are people that can be reached with the gospel only with that question. How can I serve you? Do you have any questions about the end times? This is the time that you can talk to people and say, do you know what do you want to know what the Bible says about those end times? People be open to listen. Sometimes we don't offer because sometimes we are afraid. But believe me, if you have courage, God will empower you. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, yes, 4 days, I was praying in my house. And he goes over the whole story again. He tells all the details. At this same time, that was the time for the 3 o'clock sacrifice. And it was a time for Cornelius to know about the real sacrifice that was made on his behalf. The Lamb of God. Suddenly, there was a man standing and he tells a story. And I'm going to pass this a little bit. He said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and remembered you. And he continued. So send some man to Joppa to see for Peter and ask him to come. And so I did. And I sent for immediately and I was good for you to come. It was good for you to come. It was good for you to come. It will be good if you go where God wants you to go. And the people will feel good that you will be there. Now, we were all there before God to hear everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. We are here not to hear what is convenient for our ears. We are here to hear everything. I heard one person once in a church, in this church here, few years ago, one person says, when somebody asks for baptism, we should not take the time to teach them everything else. They already once baptized, just baptize them and they will learn all the things later. It doesn't work that way. When God said, go baptize them, teach them all things. Here says, to hear everything that the Lord has to tell us. And so then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows not what? Before God, we are all one. We are equal before God. So when God created Adam and Eve, he called both of them, you know this, he called them Adam. He didn't call them Adam and Eve. The Adam and Eve came after sin. They were two people but part of one. But in every nation, whatever fears God, or in other words, anybody who respects God and works in righteousness is accepted by him. The gospel is for everyone. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And it says here, the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout the Judea and begun from Galilee to baptism with John preached. Remember when Jesus Christ and John says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were presented oppressed by the devil, by the devil, not by God. Okay? For God was with him, with Jesus. And then it says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging him on the tree. And he went on telling them what Jesus was. Him God raised on the third day and showed him openly to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. In other words, he was not just a fruit of our imagination. We ate. That's what he means. We ate with him. So he was the real thing. He was just a ghost or something. And then it says, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is who was ordained by God to be judge of all living and dead. To him all the prophets, which is that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. This is the Jesus. While Peter was still speaking these words, then the Holy Spirit says, okay, Peter, the church did its work. Now is the turn for the Holy Spirit to get involved. Every single time that the church stands up to work, God stands up to join in. And it says, and fell upon all those who heard the word. Another event like this happened in the Pentecostal, when all the disciples received the Holy Spirit. And then immediately they start speaking other languages. Why do you think that the gift of our languages were given to the disciples? They didn't get a clue. They didn't realize it. They didn't turn it on. When the Holy Spirit gave in Pentecost the gift of speaking other languages, not a blah, blah, blah like in Pentecost. No, it's real languages, okay? When it gave them the gift of speaking other languages was so that the gospel could be preached every part of the world. That was so clear. They didn't get it. Peter didn't. Peter went on. All the apostles went on preaching only to Jewish people. Here again, but now to the house packed with Gentiles, to the unclean people. And here's the Holy Spirit comes to clean them. And he poured upon them. Why? Because they heard the word and they opened their hearts and the Holy Spirit came in. Every single time we open our hearts, the Holy Spirit will come in. And it says, and those of the circumcision who believed were there, they were amazed. I said, really? I did not know that this was for everybody. We thought this was just for the Jewish people. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles as well. God is a God for everyone. And this is the proof. Now, I told you that the title conversion. The same day, a whole church was formed. The first Gentile Christian church. A complete church was all the friends, family, and it goes by saying they were all baptized. These believers heard them speak in different languages. I went to a Pentecostal church because a friend called me there, invited me to go there. And there was probably 600, 700 people there. Usually the church had more than 2,000 members. But this was in a prayer meeting. And I went because I told him, I go to your church if you promise to come to my church. He said, yes, I promise. I went to his church first. Oh, he should have come to my church first. I went to his church first. I learned that you cannot trust those that are... If you lie about something, you lie about other things too. So they promised, if you come to my church, he was so sure that once I get there, the Holy Spirit will grab you and you'll never leave. So I went there and they started blah. And they look at me and says, are you not speaking tongues yet? I said, oh, what do you mean? Have you not received the Holy Spirit? Yes. He says, oh, yes, I have. He says, but how come you're not speaking tongues? He says, what do you mean? And now they start making that noise, and suddenly somebody starts translating. You know, there was another person translating all that noise. And I said, I'm sorry, but I'm out of here. Because the spirit that I have is not the spirit that you have. They are different spirits. I left, and I told him, now is your turn to come to my church. He never came. Never. Can anyone keep these people from being baptized? Why? Because the Holy Spirit already told us they are okay. And so they were baptized. That day, every single one in that house. So Peter ordered that they be baptized. Now, here's something that by reading your Bible you may not notice. Peter ordered them to be baptized. It doesn't say that Peter baptized them. Peter ordered them to be baptized. So all the people that came with Peter, remember those heads of the church too? They all got into the baptizing business. Because it was too many for just one person. So they all were there giving baptism. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. First, Peter cannot even enter their house. Now Peter is staying there. He's lodging there. He's having a good fellowship with the new Christians. People that just received the Holy Spirit. Believe me, it is very enjoyable to speak with people that is full of the Holy Spirit. I don't blame him to want to stay a few days to keep enjoying that holy experience. There is a verse in the Bible that everyone should pay very close attention to it. I like this because it's 16:16. I was 16 when I was baptized, so I never forget this verse. Anyone who believes, and you notice the mark over there in that A and D? Do you know why I put that mark over there? Anyone who believes, and if you stop there, there's nothing's going to happen. Do you know why an angel came to talk to Nicodemus? Cornelius? I knew I was going to make that mistake. Cornelius? Because he believed. But he wanted to know what is next. What goes after belief. And that's why the church needs to come along. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Brothers and sisters, baptism is necessary. And I'm blessed to know that you already have taken that step in your life. Now, baptism has to be renewed. In a few more weeks, we'll have the ritual of communion. The foot washing is your renewal of your baptism vows. So I want you to start thinking about, because it's coming the day when we will be celebrating communion. Until that day comes, I hope the Holy Spirit keep you in communion. Let's sing together, at the cross, at the cross. Where first I saw the light. And by the way, I capitalized the word light and I put it in yellow so that you know that that light that I saw is meant to be said, Jesus is the light.